Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
Come here, let me take a look at you.
I had a bad dream.
He freezes.
And there was like a monster, and it had a mask, white horns.
Horns, yes.
Fur.
I saw the same thing. Something has happened that is... grown your power.
This is a symptom of the awakened power feat, which you...
Oh. Yeah!
This is a big chamber, and it's split into two levels. Now, on the room's raised half stand these two amber pods. They almost look like giant bug cocoons.
I feel like we're being watched. I don't see anything.
And you look up at the ceiling, and you see a humanoid figure clinging to the ceiling. The Slim has been very pleased with my work thus far. They will no doubt love to see how I use what's left of you. Roll for initiative. It's going to be a 31 to hit.
Holy yeah.
And then on Talitha, natural one.
For 1d4 rounds.
Yes.
You can't cast spells requiring a verbal component. Oh!
I will not be taking that attack because I rolled a natural one.
I'm going to shoot my foxfire. It's not going to do it.
Let's go. 19 to hit.
Oh.
No. Yes, that,
I mean, what would we have even done if this guy could cast spells?
Not for real.
Only two more rounds where it is silenced. Will you take him out before he gets his Johns back? Find out next week.
The adventure continues now.
Good.
The occasional ice cold beer at work.
Oh my gosh, darn it, that's good. Beers today are from Matthew Capodicasa. Matthew Capodicasa.
Courtesy of Matthew Capodicasa.
Brewed him himself.
Thank you, Matthew.
In his basement.
Well, do you know, you want to talk about why these beers are here?
Well, this is what I was going to kind of segue into. Okay. You guys have a little fun party night after today's recording.
And you were invited. You just rudely chose not to respond to the email at all.
Well, when I don't respond, that you know that Troy's not coming.
I knew you weren't coming right. Even before.
It's not that I don't want to come. I just can't.
We are, so through the years, listeners have been kind of
with us. Yes, you always let me down.
I mean, I honestly think we've been holding, I know we've been holding on to these since 2020 or 2020, 2021. Listeners have given us enough magic booster packs or there's a
sets.
There's a draft set to do a draft. And we have enough. And so Sydney, Skid, and I played some magic on the train back from Boston one show and thoroughly weirded out the fourth person sitting at our table.
Oh, no. Why would they sit there?
Well, they got on later.
Yeah. Assigned Amtrak seats, and they just happened to be sitting with the nerds.
Gross. Like, we were by ourselves.
Did you deal them in?
No.
No, like, you play green?
They ignored us. Ignored us big time.
You're like, untap it.
The cars.
What the fuck are you doing?
What
are you
doing on the train? And we're like, well, sorry.
Anyway, we had a lot of fun, and we're like, you know what, we should play. And also, we know now that Matt Brody, our fantastic cinematographer, hi Matt, is a magic nerd, and we've got CJ and Francis back here who are also super nerds. And we're like, why don't we?
That was the wrong one.
Yellow button. I love that song though.
I like when they're
we're like, why don't we just do a draft? Matt can teach us, and we'll drink beer and eat pizza. There it is. So I bought some beers for the draft, but we just drank them all.
So this is going to be a late night for you guys because it's already late.
Yeah.
When do you? How long does a draft take, a magic draft?
Matt?
Roughly the same as the NFL draft.
Oh.
So three days.
So 4 days.
Yeah.
We'll see you at the end of the week.
We'll see you at the next recording. We'll be here still.
And then you're going to play afterwards, or you just draft and be like, all right, see you guys.
No, we're going to
drive home drunk.
Draft and then catch trains.
And Kate, too. Kate's super pumped.
Listen.
Yeah, you give Kate shit? No.
I mean, you guys are my
Kate responds to the email.
You have other friends?
She says, look, I got friends. I got
to play magic. I want to do everything my friends do at all times. If my friend jumped off a bridge, I would jump.
Wow.
I really want to play magic. I just can't get into it.
And your hubby loves magic. And
I think it's because my friends upstate, they play Commander. And I heard that that's like not a good one to start out playing because it's very hard, very large overhead. But I don't know. I want to like it. I also want to go home after.
Yeah.
It takes me like 2 hours to get home.
Yeah.
It's a long way.
Maybe another time when we're not recording all day and then staying late.
And then I have to work the next day.
Yeah.
Right. What's your excuse? What are you saying?
I'm similar to Kate. I like magic, but I don't like it that much. Mostly because I just get my ass kicked.
Oh, I'm going to get destroyed.
Every time
and
I
you
play
also
it.
Assume immediately and over that many, the gods are against you.
Over many, many, many years, I've just, you know, I've been like, it's just not for me.
This is Joe every time he plays magic. You always get the exact card that you need, and I don't have my card off the bottom of the deck.
Exactly.
Every magic game.
I played about 615 games of magic with Brian McDermott from like 7th grade to 11th grade, and I never won a single one. So I'm done with magic. I'm good.
Well, you're going to stick around and have a beer.
I'm going to hang out for a little bit. Yeah. I want to see what a draft looks like. Also, like, I would hate to... It would be like... I don't want to say you, Matthew, in particular, because you don't keep up with the NFL anymore, right? Like, if I was like, come to our NFL fantasy football draft. And you'd be like, I don't want to do that. I don't know anything about that, and I'm not interested in doing that. Like, that's how I feel. I don't know anything about magic cards.
I wouldn't let yourself get discouraged. It's like, I played Brian McDermott, like, every time, and I lost every time. It's like, yeah, no shit. So it's like, I got involved in 20 land wars. They were all in China, and I lost every one. It's like, yeah, that was a mistake. Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah. It was a ritual beatdown for a long time from a superior player. But
you know, to make you feel better, too, I don't know a ton about magic. I've played it a few times. I played it with you guys. It's fun. I have to be reminded of how to play it every time I play it because I don't play consistently. But we have Matt, and Matt was like, well, I'll teach you guys. I'll show you how to do the draft. I've never done a draft.
I've never done one.
So it's more for the hang.
Yeah, you just love a hang.
You love a hang.
I love
a good hang.
Well, here's the thing. You guys remember when you lived in New York City?
Nope.
I'm
I have no memory
weird.
Of
you
the
lived
past
here for
5 years
a long
life.
Time. I'm already out. I've already left my apartment.
Mm.
Everything else is fine. I'm going to stay out. Doesn't matter. I'm already out.
The act
out.
Of going out.
If you were to text me at 8 p.m. tonight and I'm home and you're like, we're playing magic, I'd be like, I don't care about that at all.
Yeah.
Not
all
even right. a
yeah,
little
have a good
bit.
Time.
Yeah, you think we could be around the corner from your house.
Yes. And you'd be like, be at my local bar and I'd be like, too busy. I'm busy and I'm in bed. But
if we had several in-person discussions, at least two email chains,
a calendar invite.
A calendar invite that then got canceled and rescheduled and then maybe rescheduled again.
And I have to see you in person the day of the event.
You're there.
I love a good hang then. And I love a hang.
Well, Matthew's been looking forward to this for a really long time. If I'm not mistaken, Matthew's been sort of loose pitching the we should get together and do a magic draft night since 2021, roughly once per month.
Pushing it a little
for the last
bit.
3 years. Yeah.
I mean,
it's like we should do this.
If you average it out, it's probably once per month. But I feel like I pitch aggressively when we're on tour or something.
Yeah.
I get all of you at once.
Speaking of tour, It's April. This month, we're going to be in Kansas City on Thursday, April 25th. 2 days later, we're in Austin. At the time of this recording, Austin tickets flying off the shelves. KC tickets, a little slow, a little slow. Heard that we were supposed to come to KC. We're coming. Let's sell those tickets. What were you guys talking about, magic?
you're not doing it because you just want to go home, but do you love magic?
Enjoyed it. When it first came out, I was in high school, and I joined the magic club, because I was like, nerd stuff, I'm in. I went to a couple sessions, bought a bunch of cards, which I unearthed when I was moving my parents out of our childhood home, and I just said, here, and I gave them to my brother. But we played at Treehouse Brewery, and that was the first. Yeah. And then we played that like 2 years ago on our way to Boston.
We've done a couple of Treehouse Magic days because people have given us, like, there's a game night, Magic game night that comes with decks. You can just whip it out. You don't really need it. It explains the rules as you go. And
it was great. It was super fun. We did that. And it was the first time that I played in 30 years, more than that probably, and haven't played since and probably will never play again.
We'll bring it to Treehouse next time.
All right, sure.
All right, so sure. you'll play.
Skid, you're a big magic guy?
Not really. I think I've told the story. When I first moved to New York, I was subletting from a guy in a 3-bedroom apartment, and one of the other bedrooms that was also being sublet belonged to a guy who was a professional magic player, and he left like all of his long boxes with all his cards in the room. So one of the third roommate who knew him kind of one night, he broke out all the boxes. So I was like, yeah, check it out. And it's hanging out. And so we played a lot for when I first moved here, we played quite a bit. But I haven't really, apart from like playing on the train that time coming from Boston, I haven't really played at all.
And I think you kicked our butts.
I won once, I think.
Yeah.
I won none of the times.
I won once. Skid won once, yeah. I think.
The lady in the fourth seat won one time.
She won most. I think she won overall.
Yes, I think she lost. I think she overall lost.
Won the battle, lost the war.
I played it in middle school, and then I got too poor to keep up with the habit. And
yeah.
That's what I can't keep up with. But I'm happy to do this draft. I'm happy to just kind of play for fun. And
I remember it becoming a thing in 93.
Yes, 93 is the year I always put on it. That's when it became a thing.
Yeah, that's the first person. I remember the guy was an actor in a show that I was doing. He told me about it. That was the first time I heard of it. It's like, oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, so I was probably exaggerating when I said seventh grade. It was probably high school when I started doing it. And I think it's a great game. It's hard to keep up with all the cards and everything. Yeah.
I got into the lore a little bit in middle school. I read the books.
The art is cool.
I never got into the lore. Whoa. I know nothing about the world.
It's funny because Gatewalkers, there's a little bit going on that I'm like, this is...
Planeswalker.
Shout out to Matt Forsythe, the artist behind character portraits, who is also an artist of some magic cards.
But then, awesome. When I got in, it was all like the Stronghold. I think Stronghold was the first set I kind of played, and it was all about laying the groundwork for a story where they were building this plane to kind of overlap with the plane as a means of an invasion. So I was like, especially with the Thin Lands kind of cross hatching, Kanipo extending his reach. Mm-hmm. I've got some strong Weatherlight, Magic the Gathering.
Bye. Well, I hope you guys have fun tonight. I will be sitting in traffic for 2 hours after you're well onto your second draft. So let's do a quick 20-minute episode so I can go home. We'll be right after this break. I said we'll be right after this break.
We'll be
right.
Totally
we'll
be. Will.
We'll be right
after this break.
We're wrong now.
I'll be.
Yo, what's going on, Naish? You have heard me talk about it a ton, but I cannot recommend NordVPN highly enough. Some of you may not know your way around a VPN, and I certainly was in that camp not long ago. So let me just explain that basically NordVPN is an app that allows you to, with one click of a button, change your virtual location to any one of hundreds and hundreds of different servers that are located in different countries around the world. Changing your virtual location means that various e-commerce websites, among others, will believe that your device is located in another country when they ping your device. And so that changes things like regional pricing for products and services, or whether a show or sporting event is even available in that country. But masking your virtual location has the added benefit of making you a more difficult mark for a cyber criminal that is preying on a public Wi-Fi network, just looking for an unsuspecting victim to, you know, quickly grab their personal information like passwords, bank account info, credit card numbers. You know, the list goes on what they could get off of your device. So NordVPN makes changing your virtual location just mind-bogglingly easy. Seriously, it's just one click on my phone and I can register as being in London or in Stockholm or in Vancouver. Once you connect, the app will let you know exactly where your device appears to be located and will give you this banner that lets you know you're protected. And then you get issued a new IP address, which you can easily find and write down if you need to, as well as statistics for how long you spend in each location. The benefits of this flexibility and this control over your own cyber defense far exceed the cost of the app, in my opinion. And I urge you to try it out. It's just, it's awesome. And we get an incredible discount for being a sponsored show. So to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/GCP. Our link will give you 4 extra months on their 2-year plan. And there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. And you just help support your old pals, your good buddies here at the GCP. Check out the link in the episode description box.
We're back, and I feel right.
I feel right about this.
I needed that break to,
feels right.
To realign. Speaking of realigning, you're going to need to realign real quickly because the time is running out for this creature to no longer be silenced. One of the best fumbles in the history of the network, perhaps, for taking out a single enemy from the combat. I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll roll back to last week.
Well,
next,
let's
last
start week. With thanking our sponsors, Demiplane.
No, no.
And North
I'll
Foundry.
Do a recap fast.
Foundry VTT.
This recap brought to you by.
Yeah, this recap brought to you by our sponsors. I'm in trouble speaking. Demiplane, Foundry VTT, and Norse Foundry.
For all your random number generating needs.
We need catchphrases for all the sponsors.
Yeah. Foundry has really elevated the tree balls.
Yeah.
Right? The tree balls are on another level.
They're not elevated.
You can't mimic that.
They're actually touching the ground.
That's right.
The tree is elevated.
That's right.
The tree's holding the balls.
I don't know if you know anything about anatomy, but the balls are elevated.
The balls are below the tree.
The balls, however,
are glowing with amber power.
Please, explain to us how it works.
Kate? No, thanks.
Man, she knew all about shaving.
She goes, that's not what they do.
Mansplain these balls to us.
I hold. My turn.
Oh, hey now.
Wow.
We went so into the balls in the last episode. My thought.
Kate's had a long day.
Very long day.
I was thinking like, man, I'm so glad we're leaving those balls in last episode and we won't just like harp on them this entire episode. Well, I was wrong.
We are going to be filling around with them the whole
juggling them.
Jeepers.
Love it.
We started last week's episode with Brother Ramius confronting Zephyr about a dream that she experienced, a dream that was very similar to one that Brother Ramius experienced back in episode 1, which in the time of this game is 7-8 days, maybe. Can't remember. We're going to keep a calendar and we forgot. But the point is, you guys see a connection between these dreams, the connection being this figure, this person wearing this horrifying white fur mask with horns. You tell Talitha can't really make heads or tails of what this creature may be. It seems like it's meant to frighten you. You don't really know what that's all about.
You don't have any artwork of this, do you?
No.
That you could supply?
No.
So that we could actually see what the character saw in their dream?
If I did, I don't feel comfortable sharing it at this time.
Interesting.
It's a dream. Like, you know, when you try to remember.
That's what I was saying.
Or describe it to someone.
It's been a long time. It's been a week. It's hard to remember exactly. Yeah.
You know what someone said the other day, and I wish I could attribute it to who? It was on the internet, I believe. How come you never have cell phones in your dreams? We're on them all day long.
I feel like I definitely do.
Do you, though, Kate? Mm-hmm. Do you?
Now I'm going to be acutely aware of if I dream about a cell phone.
I've never had a cell phone in a dream, so I can recall.
Not that I can remember.
Isn't that crazy? We stare at them all day long, some of us more than others, and yet we dream they don't exist. So perhaps dreams are heaven.
You know what they... What kind of dreams do you have all the time?
You don't want, we've asked that question before on this show, and you do not want to hear that.
Oh, okay. Pass.
I have sex with everybody else.
Okay.
I'm a lucid dreamer. I just start fucking...
Well, that's perfect sense.
Once I realize I'm driving the car, I'm like, take off your clothes or I'm taking them off. It's really intense.
And put that cell phone down, because I don't want that.
Put that cell phone down.
Put that away.
Not my dream. This is heaven. There's nobody you can call.
So scary.
What were you saying?
I was gonna say, also they say in dreams, if you speak another language in a dream, like if you can speak Spanish in a dream, they say that's like a really telltale sign that you know the language well enough in real life. But I've spoken Spanish in a dream, and that's not true.
Wow. Mm. I only text in Spanish in dreams.
Whoa.
On my cell
phone. On your cell phone.
Yeah.
Francis,
that's only- Thanks, Francis. I needed that laugh. You talk about your dreams, blah, 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 blah. You get an awakened power. Your deviant ability awakens.
She's so
Have you
strong.
Decided what the awakened John is going to be?
I think I want to take the bleed John.
Oh.
Bleed John.
There's the push back one or the bleed. The thing is, if I make it to 10th level... Or no, if I hit, then I can already push the target back 5 feet.
You can.
So. And I've never hit, which is why I didn't know I could do that.
Oh, because that's the basic deviant ability is you can push.
Yeah, so like awakening, I could like knock it prone, which is nice, but I don't know. I feel like bleeding is funner.
Bleeding's cool.
But this is also going to be only on physical attacks, right? You don't get to apply that bleeding to a ranged attack.
See, I thought about this when I made my character and I read the descriptions over and over again, which I could get wrong. I've gotten them wrong before.
Sure.
But my interpretation of monastic archer stance is that melee attacks I can make with my bow.
I've
been using my keystrike with my bow.
Right.
Which I've said.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've used my Titan swing with my bow yet, but I think I might have once.
Interesting.
But
Titan
I was thinking
swing.
That I could.
Yeah, that's interesting. We're gonna have to go to the professor on that one.
Yeah, and we'll see what the professor says. But I tend to agree with you on the base that like what monastic archer stance is designed to do is everything a monk can do.
Yeah.
But at range, is my understanding of it.
Yep. It says the only strikes you can make are with long bows and short bows. I can use flurry of blows with these bows.
Yes,
you can use your other monk feats or monk abilities that normally require unarmed attacks with these bows.
Says it flat out. Now,
yeah, but it doesn't say a melee attack, and so I don't think you'd be able to
specifically apply the Titan Swing.
Yeah, because Titan Swing says make a melee strike.
It's not like
S.
a monk ability. It's a deviant.
Yeah, because it's meant to be your limbs are longer, and you're able to do more damage with your more powerful, stronger limbs.
I guess Titan Swing isn't a monk feat because it says I can use my other monk feats or monk abilities, which would transfer in my brain to Keystrike, which is a monk feat and ability.
Right. That
so
makes
maybe
sense.
Not with Titan Swing.
Well, I mean, if your arms got longer, I mean, you could conceivably pull the bowstring tighter.
It's all an interpret. I would definitely interpret that in your favor. I would think. Because the monk... The idea of the monastic archer is that you have everything like a monk has it. And in this very weird case with this deviant ability, it's like in this campaign, you know, these deviant feats are very strange, very weird. They're part inborn part of your character, as natural to you as monk traits and abilities. Like that's the way that I would think about it.
But monastic archer stance is specifically for bows. It's just for bow attacks. That's why you wouldn't be able to use.
No, but it says you can use other monk feats or monk abilities that normally require unarmed attacks with these bows when attacking within the first range increment normally for a long
time. Yeah, so it's range, it's not melee.
But all unarmed attacks would be melee.
Yeah.
Right.
I see.
Joe's arguing that because these feats, these deviant abilities are inborn in us, it would be equally as
interesting. The argument is that Titan Swing isn't technically a monk feat, I guess.
Right.
But I mean...
Something to think about. If I had to make a call today, I'd say no, but I'd be open to someone being like, Troy, I think you're wrong, but that person is not.
Do it.
Joe.
Email us at theglasscannonnetwork.com.
That person is not.
Tell Troy he's wrong.
Or ever will be at this table.
He loves it.
True. Let's see what happened next. You then walked into the next room. You were worried about this room to the south, worried about possibly tripping these traps again. Let's take a peek in this other room. You walk into a room that's split in half. The lower half of the room, or the western half, is lower than the eastern portion, which is 20 feet higher. And on the eastern portion are these two glowing bulbs connected by this magical floating gray tree. You get the sense that these are pods that you can like step into. It was Talithu who starts to discern that something is going on here, that it seems like there is some sharing of something, some sort of transformative property between the two pods. One steps in and something happens between the two pods. But you don't have too much time to investigate before a few of you notice a creature clinging to the ceiling. Who says, welcome to the reproduction lab. Let's have a look-see at you. After I'm done with you, I'm going to use you for my final experiments. The Slim has been very happy with what I've done so far. It has on these goggles that make its eyes look like these long, like alien stalks, like Roger Glipglorp.
The Glipglorp.
It comes out swinging with Scorching Ray, three-action version, crits Asta for 22 points of damage, yeah, I think.
22.
And then fumbles on Talitha, hits Zephyr. The fumble ends up being the greatest fumble that you guys have seen in a long time. Silences this creature for max 4 rounds on a D4. There are 2 rounds left of this silencing, and we are at the top of round 4. You, Joe, have noticed something about the light spell between episodes.
Yes. Covered this on the VOD, but I didn't realize that I was looking at original 2E light and not the remaster of light. So light has been remastered to, it seems like, and Matthew said this, embody what was originally dancing lights and combine it with light into just one clean spell, which I like. Because I always thought it was weird that there's lights and dancing lights. But this spell is awesome. And it is, we were definitely hamstringing ourselves, or I was last episode, with how the light worked. So I'm going to be a little bit, I'm going to be able to do more with it than I was before. And I'm looking forward to it.
You're looking forward to it?
Yeah.
Good for you. It is Clinging Goggle Man's turn. Clinging Goggle Man is now, every time he moves, you drop a light in a new location. I imagine Clinging Goggle Man would know that you now have the ability to light up the whole fucking room.
He's like, oh no, he read the rules.
Oh no, he read the rules. Shit. There's no place to hide anymore.
So he secondly figures out this remaster.
And this is the top of round 4?
This is the top of round 4. So he has 2 more rounds of being silenced. Now, the only thing that is kind of keeping him in the fight is that you guys haven't been able to hit him that much. Although last round, you had a really good round. So you're trying to take him out before he regains the ability to rain down fire. I mean, the fact that he isn't already down shows you how much devastation he could have rained in these rounds. So I've been thinking about this over the past week, like where to go with this, because I think my tactic has been working, but it could very easily fail. However, once I get down there, I'm just opening myself up to more melee attacks. So I think I'm going to kind of stick to what I'm doing, and I am going to move again. However, I'm going to use an ability as I move that allows me to move a little further than I've been moving. You guys don't really need to know what that's all about. Slides over to the southern portion of the room, so now he's 40 feet up, which may still keep him in dim light, depending on how you... If you were just lighting on the floor, if you drop lights up there, obviously not. But I'm going to move him over there, and then from there, slide a little bit more to the northern portion of the room. He's now over the bed in the northwestern portion of this room, 40 feet from the floor. He slides over to there, and that's all I'm going to do as far as you know. And now,
how far did he move?
He moved 55 feet.
55 feet.
Excuse me, 45 feet.
45 feet.
Yeah,
got it.
45 feet. And you know what's interesting? As he moved, at least for that first portion, it was like, even though he's bathed in light, it kind of like it looked like he lost a little space in there, like turned into a shadow. He was kind of hard to see for a second. And then he came back, and then he just a little bit more further.
It's... It is tricky business fighting shadow creatures in essentially a shadow plane. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a constant concealment. And
home
stuff.
Field advantage.
Yeah, real home court advantage.
It is Brother Ramius' turn.
All right, Brother Ramius, somehow understanding light in a way he never did before, reaches across the room to where this ball of light, so it's actually a ball of light, not cast on an object. This ball of light was next to this creature, and he is going to use a sustained spell action. So one action, and he's going to fly the light over to the guy.
Okay.
So I can sustain a spell, and I can move a globe 60 feet in a round. So he moves it over to him.
Gets over there with ease.
As a sustain action, if I'm doing that correctly, I think I am. And then he's going to use his remaining two actions to fire off a Divine Lance at this guy while he's right up above him. And it seems to me within range.
Okay. And this would be the remastered Divine Lance.
This would be the remastered Divine Lance, which is a slight change to how the damage is dealt. It is a little bit lower damage, but he is within range. Here we go. Ranged,
big roll.
Ranged attack. Need a big roll. Norse Foundry. Come on! That is going to be a 20. Exactly. Exactly a 20!
We had a couple 20s last week.
Gosh.
That is a miss. Boom! Lights up the whole room.
This light shines out, but does not. Just narrowly misses.
Divine sparks sprinkle about the room.
Yeah, and that is his turn.
It is now Zephyr's turn.
Still in my monastic archer stance. Still can see him.
Come on, Zeph.
Flurry of blows.
Zephyr.
With the longbow.
Standing next to that table with all the flora and the vials. Some sort of chemical situation going on.
Yeah. I think the last two rounds, she missed both, so she's getting really frustrated. And she
I would be.
Really, really...
Oh. Wow. What happened? What deal with the devil did you make?
What?
Cursed. Why?
You act like I want to do this.
What was on the... Let's start with what was on the die.
Sure, there's not a concealment.
What was on it?
Sure, there's not a concealment roll.
I don't know.
First.
Are you sure there's not a concealment
roll? Sure, there's not a concealment roll?
No, thank Brother Ramius for that.
Oh, what's it's on? Always Joe's
thank
fault.
Thank you so much, Joe. What's somehow on the die right now is a one.
Oh, come on. Jeez.
That would be of the natural variety if you're following along at home, which means it is a fan fumble. Let me guess. If you're fighting an enemy who's silenced, they're no longer silenced, and you lose 20 hit points.
The fumbles have been very interesting.
They have been.
They certainly have been.
And I frown upon it.
Oh, no. Oh,
me like
hands
that
on
why
the head.
You look so sad.
Oh.
All right, Paul. You piece of shit.
Paul, sorry.
Paul. Sorry,
paying
Paul.
Customer
Hi,
Paul.
And thank you.
Listen, paying customer Paul, you piece of trash.
Paul from where?
All right, Paul
from
PCP, paying customer Paul. You know what? Not just any Paul. Paul from Stockton, California.
Stockton. Oh.
There's got to be only one.
Paul from Stockton, pickup game. Sounds,
sounds fun.
Yeah,
fan of
sounds
John
fun.
Stockton.
I go for maybe it's John Stockton.
Your attack misses.
Yeah,
easy enough.
And your quiver has tipped over, spilling out all your ammo on the floor, on the ground in front of you.
All your arrows.
In order to use your ammunition again, you must spend an action to pick up a single arrow.
Oh my!
Wow! God, allowed to make one attack with that arrow. As another action.
Yeah.
You must spend three actions to pick up all spilled ammunition and put it back in your holder. It's basically a full round off.
Oh, shit. Could she drop everything, spend two rounds now, and spend a third action next round? Like, she's sustaining the action of picking
That's
up.
A question for
carry
sure.
Carryover. Yeah, I would allow that. Like, you only used one action.
Oh, yeah. So if you spend three actions, one this round, two next.
Well, you're in the middle of a flurry of blows.
Yeah.
Right? Yes,
effectively, it's canceled.
It's canceled, right? Because you're like, go to grab another.
Yeah.
Wow. Kate just got canceled.
Flurry of blows. Canceled. Cancel.
And then, sorry, one last sentence from Paul.
Paul.
If your ammunition was lost due to falling into the ocean or the abyss, I apologize for ruining your game.
Wow. Well,
thanks.
So, at least he gave a conditional apology.
At least it didn't happen in the pit.
I was going to say, if it was near the pit, I take that Paul line to be like,
imagine digging through that
see
pit,
ya.
Getting my arrows. Okay, that's not the worst.
I'm glad he never won an NBA championship. Fuck that guy.
John Stockton, not Paul.
I'm sorry.
Paul Stockton.
All right, I guess I'll use...
John's evil twin.
I'll use two of the rounds to start picking up my arrows.
Start gathering top of their next round. You can
use what else am I going to do? It's not like I can drop my bow and start smacking them with my hands.
Yeah.
It's 40 feet in the air. So
That's amazing.
That is amazing. Like, Zephyr, you got a really bad fumble. I'm glad that, like, it's evening out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, but again, this is one more round.
She literally, like, I feel like she must be so frustrated as a hero right now. Even though, like, yeah, she hit the Shay woman in the face.
We've seen some insane runs of bad luck on the show. But this is among the worst. Like, you had one, like, big win that was very triumphant and wonderful. But apart from that, for like 6 or 7 episodes now, it has been garbage, 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 garbage. It's not your fault.
Natural 20. Next, and then garbage.
You're due.
Yeah.
Garbage.
You're certainly due.
It's not your fault.
It's not my fault.
It's not your fault.
Because your characters are too...
It's not your fault. You know what? You're ripped now. You went to, like, grab something out of your, quiver. And
just,
like,
ripped the whole quiver off.
Fell on the ground.
Anyway, I hope you guys do well with your turn. See you next round.
Let's find out. It is Matthew's turn as the character Talitha.
Thank you for that. Can I shoot at goggle clingy guy from where I am?
Clinging Goggle Man, yes.
Why do we call him Walton?
Interesting. Interesting, Matthew. What are you shooting?
Little cove?
A crossbow.
I'm going to give it a pretty significant cove. There's a lot of veins there. Limbs.
Tree?
A lot of limbs. Very thick limbs. Veins. Yes. It's a very veiny tree.
Very veiny tree.
It's a vascular tree.
Surrounded by some spongy.
Yeah, what is fucking going on with this tree?
The cover is a +2 to AC. Lesser cover is a +1.
I might give it a +1.
Greater cover is a +1.
Plus what?
No, I'll give it a +2.
Okay.
You're shooting between these trees. I think +2 is
otherwise
isn't even enough, Frank.
I think it's generous. Yeah.
Otherwise, I can't get a shot off. So I'm going to reload, devise a stratagem.
Second action.
Okay, and I will take the shot.
Oh! Yes!
Nice!
Let's do it.
Because I roll a natural 17.
Nice!
There's no is there any further knowledge I could be... I got a free recall knowledge here, and I succeeded on the past 2.
How to get him off the...
Yes, always,
ceiling.
Always.
Yeah, get him off the
ceiling.
But
I don't have a specific question. I mean, it's Spider-Man.
We know it's Spider-Man.
You could ask about his hands and the goggles. The vials?
Yes.
Vials?
Well, what about what kind of creature he is? Like, is he human?
What class or what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You going to roll my knowledge check for me?
Yeah, what is your job? What's your...
Arcana plus 10.
Okay.
You could just say you don't have any more additional knowledge if it's a...
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you what the creature is, because I don't really think it... You didn't succeed on this check, but I am going to tell you what the creature is. It is a fetchling.
Oh!
Kyle.
That's why I knew Shadowblender.
What'd you roll?
It's going to be a 25.
That's a hit.
All right!
What's the range
counts
on your crossbow?
60 feet, my friend.
But you're 20 feet up because you're on the platform.
40 feet. Well, 20 from where you are.
Did
you Pythagoras it up?
I'm pretty sure.
I can do it. What is it?
You can't do anything.
Tell me what it is. How far away are you?
I'm 40 feet away.
40 feet away. So that's going to be 56.56.
Oh.
56.56.
So if it's 60 feet, then you're good.
Okay.
Great. That's going to be...
Oh, yeah.
It could be good or bad.
Yep.
How much damage?
It could be right or wrong.
8 points of damage.
Okay.
Nice.
That's amazing.
I'm too tired to correct Sydney's math.
With the strategic strike.
I used a calculator.
You did it right.
Right here.
I saw it.
Okay. Do you have any other actions?
No. Reload, devise, shoot.
Hell of a turn. Asta. Love Asta.
So, the reason that I had that calculator pulled up is because almost all of my cantrips are 30 feet, except for Slashing Gust. So I am going to cast Slashing Gust, and I whip my katana in like a force wave. I think it's piercing, actually, or slashing. Slashing.
Flashing.
We'll head toward her. But I need, speaking of cool fumbles, I need to roll twice because fumble.
Yeah, this has balanced out pretty well.
It really has. Yeah.
I mean,
the fumble that I got in last episode for the next 3 D20s, I roll twice and I have disadvantage.
Well, why don't you just roll 2 die rather than see natural 20?
Sure. I like to roll 1 at a time.
Okay.
7 is the worst. So that's not going to hit.
No.
And when that happens, she's still like crackling with all this electricity. Like she was surging. She's like going in and out, like not being able to control it. And in her mind, she sees... you don't know if it's like a flashback or future vision or what's going on, but you see this like hazy view of she's laying down, and you see Asta has like her long white fur, her hair, and somebody's braiding it. Ooh. And they're braiding in all these different colorful ribbons. Oh. And You see she's like slipping into some sort of dress, and it's like white and very flowy, and this feels like a dream. Like everything is kind of hazy, and the dress like kind of covers like the camera lens. And that's all you see. It's just like these.
That dress out of the way. Try to get the shot.
I can't see anything. But yeah, that's all you see. Ooh, for this. That's but cool. She misses that.
And then just attack again. You use your electric shock from your tail, maybe.
I can't reach it.
There's nothing that you can do?
No. None of my
I'm just trying to get another die roll out.
Get that
you
want to
burn die rolls.
Roll so
you
do a knowledge roll.
Yes.
Do
a knowledge. It doesn't have to be an attack. Yes. Very smart.
You sure, it doesn't have to be an attack. It's the next three D20
rolls. Next three D20 rolls.
Okay. Yeah. I'll do a knowledge.
I'll do it for you.
I'll do Arcana.
What's your bone?
Oh.
I'll take it. I got two
deaths. Oh, you're going to roll double. Yeah. So plus five.
All right. You take the worst. I'll just take this natural 20 and put it aside.
Oh, he has to tell you. He's got to tell you.
And then I'll look at the other one. What's your bone?
Plus five.
Okay. You think that this creature, having seen its spell selection thus far, has the ability to cast spells that could affect every single person in this room with devastating damage.
So area of effect.
Big time.
Fuck. She announces it to the party. But
say it narratively.
Okay. She still has this electricity going on. She's like, something's wrong. He'll kill us. He'll kill all of us. And she's like freaking out.
Brother Amius runs. It was very convincing.
Yeah, well, I'm sold. I'm getting out of here.
You've got one more of these disadvantaged D20 rolls left.
That's my turn, though.
Finish out the round with Buggles.
Buggles. So I'm within range now to do an ignition, which could potentially do more damage, but I would have to roll a 13 on the die or better to hit with it. Whereas if I do the frostbite, it is a save, which he'll make. So it's either like guaranteed little bit of damage or unlikely maybe more damage.
I'd go unlikely. Well, I don't know. We've been chipping away, so it might be worth it.
I would tend to agree. Higher risk, but higher reward.
To go for the ignition?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's just my feel.
I think a natural 13 isn't insane. If you needed like an Addy 17 or something, I don't know.
I say risk it for the biscuit.
You need a natural 17? You need a natural 13.
Natural 13.
That's not that bad.
So
it's almost 50-50.
Bounce.
That's what I've been doing, and I've been doing great. I need a natural 13 to hit.
I need a natural 13 to hit. So it's
so do I. Exactly.
That's exactly what I need.
Oh, weird.
Okay.
Feel better now?
If only Sydney had used her D20.
And also don't forget, there's a good chance, probably three or four numbers, 17 to 20 maybe, could be a crit save for him, which would deal no damage, you know? So there's also that chance.
Okay, so the Ku'ulu Khan, looking through the eyes of Buggles, like, turns, his aura turns into snow. It's like standing in a living snow globe. Turns to this creature and he says,
"Tell me, creature, what happens to spiders in the winter?"
Boom! Frosty ignition.
Frosty ignition!
13.
No! Oh my god, amazing! Yeah! So worth it. Who said risk it for the biscuit?
I did.
Yeah.
So what's the to hit? It's not a crit or anything. Right?
21.
21, yes. Yeah. It's exactly.
Wow.
That is 11 points of cold.
Ooh, nice.
Yes! Lights him up with 11 points of cold damage.
And then I would like you to make a will save.
Will save. Nat 20.
Ugh. Okay, so nothing else happened.
I switched die, too.
Damn.
All right, so big risk, big reward. Lights him up for arguably, I think, the biggest damage, the most damage he's taken in one hit.
I think so.
We go to the top of round five. It is his last round of being frightened. It's all fucked up, and he's looking at all of you, and he just knows. He just knows. He feels like, pop, pop, pop. He's starting to hear
sound. We can't hear you. We can't hear you down here.
We have to kill him now!
He is going to slide across the room, right, almost back to where he started.
Oh.
Slide all the way back to the dark northeasterly quadrant.
You're right.
I was trying to think. Actually, you know what? No, fuck that. I am going to instead slide down back to where I was before. I know Brother Ramius is going to keep moving that light, but I kind of want to keep a larger distance.
You're still 40 feet up.
Yeah, I'm going to still be 40 feet up there just to create that distance. And
yeah, I mean, that's a smart position for another reason.
Yeah, I've got to...
So you put yourself within Zephyr's volley.
Right. Right.
No, you don't. You're still 40 feet up.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but it also, I stay giving you cover from where you're standing, although you could move out of there. Let's see what happens. Brother Ramius, you are up.
Yeah, Brother Ramius is up. Last chance. So, cheese and chicken cakes. All right, he is going to...
I don't want those.
He's
pass them.
Actually, that sounds pretty good.
Like all right, he's
like is this like a crab cake situation?
I didn't really think about it, Matthew. Word came out.
Happy birthday to I don't want this.
I'm trying to decide. Okay, let's put it out to a vote similar to Skid's. Should I try to attack it, or should I try to expand the amount of light in the room and give him less places to
attack.
Run to?
Attack.
You think?
Asta is screaming to attack him.
Okay.
Yeah. You can just move. You can just get light on him for one action. Based on where he is, based on where you are.
Right, and for two actions, I can put light on him now and leave the light where it is and over me. So it starts to reduce the amount of places
he can go. Move light for one action and then just attack him.
Okay. Same action then. The light moves over and he says a prayer and casts out a divine, whatever it's called, lance. Divine
Is it the lance. Same name in the remaster?
It is. I don't think that Divine Lance was an original
Divine
spell
Smite?
In the old school D&D, Divine. Was it?
It was.
It was?
Yeah.
Was
Fun
it?
Fact, it was named after Lance Henriksen.
Okay. I'll shoot my Divine Lance.
It is called
Lance.
Divine Lance in the remaster, though.
Yeah. Oh. Let's go. North.
Andre! Shoot that Lance.
Matty 19!
Yeah!
Go. Man, you are on fire right now. Okay.
Is that a crit?
What did I do?
27. No, it's not a crit.
Okay.
But
congrats.
You were like, just she's screaming to attack it.
Oh,
it. Don't even think twice.
Oss is very scared.
Just attack it. Okay, and so that is going to be 3 points of spirit damage. No. 3 points of spirit.
You thought there was going to be more? Or you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a low roll. Very low damage roll.
It's Troy's favorite airline, though.
It's true, my duelist.
I was very excited to hit at all.
Yeah. That's it. That's your round.
That is my round, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, nobody has to roll flat checks.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
True.
Zephyr, you're up.
I think that they were all reacting to just the sheer exultation of the National 19 for 3 points.
Yeah, for 3 points of damage.
That's why I just rolled terrible damage.
Zephyr, your first action, you gather up the rest of your arrows, shove them in your quiv.
But she has them all now.
Don't say that.
She has them all.
Shove them in your quiv.
It's not even a dirty word. It just sounds
awful.
Sounds bad.
I'm sorry.
It's like a quivering quiv.
Quivering quiv.
Oh, now you're... All right.
Anyway, first action, pick up the rest of my arrows.
Second action.
One beer and Sydney is screaming, brisket for the biscuit.
Quivering the biscuit, shove it in the quiv.
Take that and shove it in your quiv.
Oh, no.
What did you say to me?
Second action, flurry of blows.
Yes.
Okay.
With my arrows that I now have.
Come on, dude.
You got this.
We need this.
You've got this. Okay.
No. It's a 20.
Oh, man.
Ben.
Oh, but
guys,
you don't have any.
I don't have any.
Yeah. You're 20.
I don't have anything.
Have them.
All right. Next one. No.
Oh, my God.
Thump.
I'll just do one more.
As well.
Get that natural 20.
As well with that sweet, sweet map.
Nope.
Man. It's bad news when we run against come up against these like single enemies because you know it's going to be like they're going to be just impossible to fucking
for
take
like
out.
The third round in a row. You see Zephyr just firing out arrows at this thing directly above her, and she can't hit it. Why?
Well, because
never
it's
know.
A very
her
slippery shadow
so
creature.
Strong now. It's just, different.
Yeah,
it's
when
fault.
She wasn't strong enough, she couldn't hit, and now she's stronger, and it's. The
just,
same.
Just shooting blanks in the nut room. It's to leave the stream.
Matthew, I think Matthew stunned one.
Stunned one. Matthew is stunned one.
Matthew silenced. Whoa.
Reload, action one.
Okay.
But Talitha, she's trying to see this thing through the branches of the testicle tree.
Yep.
And then she, as she's reloading her crossbow, and she's like, I think I see a spot, and I'll devise a strategy.
Devise it.
And no.
And that's that round.
So instead, she will move with the loaded crossbow, hopefully. Well, yeah, I'm going to move over to the northern edge of the room. There's a double door up there. It's got a clear shot slash put as much distance between me and it as possible.
Asta, Buggles, Clinging Goggle Man.
Your only hope.
Legit actions. Asta does not have a spell that can reach up there.
Asta has one spell that she's going to use again, which is the Slashing Gust.
Slashing Gust.
I'm going to cast that.
Two action, John.
Two action, John. Roll twice.
Wind Scar.
Oh, right.
Wind Scar. Now that's a good one.
Last one. I have to roll twice for disadvantage. Wait.
That's right.
Stop. Roll something else first.
Yes.
Do a knowledge.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yes.
Roll an aid first. I don't know.
Troy's like,
we're playing the game.
Gross.
What?
Gross.
Do it. I guess I could do another.
Gross. Can't do another knowledge check.
Knowledge Arcana?
Yeah, do it.
Yes, you can. She can roll knowledge on the, she can roll knowledge on the tree.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm going to roll Arcana on the tree.
Oh. You didn't already roll this?
No, I rolled it on him.
I rolled it on the tree.
Okay, what's your arc?
I love
plus
it.
Plus five.
Love it.
So gross.
Game the system.
Plus five, huh?
Plus five.
Okay. Two natural 20s?
It's shocking. It's all right, so what do you want to know?
I want to know.
Yeah.
Did you just call the GM a bitch? Like right to his face?
This is why my characters die. Because I'm like,
we've been recording all day. We're a little punchy.
I want to know if the orbs are giving the tree like energy or vice versa. If the tree is like giving something to the orbs.
False. Well, we know the energy is transferring between
the two, but like I want to know
why don't you just ask how is the energy working?
Yeah, like why is the tree like part of the energy transference? Or what kind of tree is it, you know?
What's the deal with this thing?
What is the
That's
deal?
That's what Skid always says. Yeah, just ask what's the deal with this
what's
thing?
What's the deal with the tree?
You look at it and you kind of get the same sense that Talitha got, which I don't think she verbally announced to the room, that like there is some sort of transference of energy or something from one pod to the other.
The tree specifically.
But the tree specifically is the conduit that links the two pods.
It's like interesting.
The copper wiring.
Makes you think back, well, were you there? Yeah, I guess you were there in the Quaking Stacks. You think back to that tree in the Quaking Stacks.
Oh, that we laid under?
Yeah, that you drank the sap from. Were you there for that?
Where we Frenched God.
We Frenched God. You drank the sap from that tree. How could you forget
where you were the first time you Frenched God?
This must be a similar type experience that is transferring something from one pod to the other. And, I mean, it seems like it's complete and ready to go.
It's interesting.
This might be a good thing.
It's interesting that it's adjacent to the prison.
Yeah.
It's like the cell.
The same room. Like they were leading him in or something.
Jason to the prison and the vivisection theater.
Yeah.
Start piecing together everything you've seen.
Are they trying to create like the ultimate body for Meepo's next iteration?
Feels like it.
Maybe.
What?
Does he want to disguise himself and enter the material plane? I don't know.
That's interesting, actually.
Well, his current body is dying.
Well, they can already come to the material plane so long as they're able to.
Yeah, they got in already.
Yeah, maybe he is trying to rejuvenate himself somehow.
The
new body.
Yeah.
Reborn.
More powerful.
They themselves. I keep forgetting. Yeah.
As she's looking at this tree, and she's still like crackling with this energy, she has this last vision, and you see her from the back with like her white flowing hair, and it is like a gorgeous, crisp, early fall, late summer day, and she has this pastry. That shape is like half flower, half crescent moon, and there's a hole in the middle, almost like a donut. And you see her hand it, and you see two other like paw-like hands, kitsune hands, take it, and then they each hold it, and they break it in half. And one pulls away the crescent moon, and she pulls away the flower.
Any type of filling?
No filling.
Okay.
Any type of glaze or anything?
No, it looks moist, though.
Oh, sure it does.
And
I'm hungry. Chicken and cheesecake?
And
Is it a chicken and cheese?
Is there chicken baked into the pastry?
There's no chicken or cheese inside.
Chicken and cheese.
They pull it away, and then you see another view of piles and piles of different types of coins, like from all over the world. There's different types of coins, and some are copper and some are gold.
What's going on with is she a pirate? And what is her story?
Remember a couple episodes ago, money?
Yeah, she's been really into like material goods.
Yeah, she likes money.
And then
weird.
She's back. Asa's back.
She's back.
Her tail stops crackling, and she looks away from the tree and looks back. And
that vision was an action, probably.
No. And she's going to cast slashing.
Yes, it was the Reconology.
She's going to slash
Come
casting
on.
Guts. She's going to cast slashing gust.
Let's see. No, you didn't.
What did you do?
No, you didn't. No. Sydney Emanuel.
Only I do that.
Sydney. You rolled a natural one?
Sydney Michael Emanuel.
Sydney Michael.
Sydney Michael. Did you really roll a
yes!
nat one? There are so many nat ones at this table. It is preposterous. I guess
it's
you had more players.
It's not funny anymore.
It's not a joke anymore. I'm not having fun anymore.
This is definitely worse than it's ever been.
I'm sweating.
I mean, one of these is going to come up like your character's dead.
Dies.
Because yeah. We don't vet these as well as we should. There's too many of them.
Oh my god.
It's another spell one too.
Yeah.
Is it a good one, Joe?
Oh, it's a spell one.
Yeah, it's another
No.
Slashing
gust. Oh boy.
Windscar.
Windscar.
Oh my god.
This is my good die too.
Not anymore.
This could be game breaking. Joe, take a second. We'll find out what this fumble is right after this quick break.
There's a lot of nostalgia surrounding eating breakfast cereals as a kid. You know, just people have these strong memories of sitting around watching cartoons, eating a big bowl of children's breakfast cereal. I was not able to experience this really myself, given that the breakfast cereals were prohibited for the most part in our house. But I have a strong nostalgic memory of being jealous of the kids who had them. And now today, you know, the adults. Protein shakes and supplements are, you know, not that exciting. Chalky protein bars, kind of gross. And, you know, adult cereals are kind of bland. But, you know, now there is a Wayback Machine, Sherman, and it's called Magic Spoon. Delicious and high-quality Magic Spoon has reinvented your favorite childhood cereals to taste great. But each serving contains 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs per serving. It's a high protein, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free way to relive those moments watching your favorite cartoons. Plus, it's 140 calories per serving. Magic Spoons, and now there's treats too. They have treats. Magic Spoons, delicious, chewy treats now come in 4 flavors, marshmallow, chocolatey peanut butter, blueberry muffin, and double chocolate. They're just like the marshmallowy treats you had as a kid, but with only 1 gram of sugar and 2 grams of net carbs. And they're packed with 11 to 12 grams of protein per bar. I'm a big fan of the chocolate cereal. We were so excited when we got this asked to do these ads again, because I meant we were going to get more in the mail. And I love, it's a great late night treat for me. And the treats are great anytime. That's a great thing to like pack on my walk to the studio, whatever. Let's grab a treat. Delicious. Head over to magicspoon.com/GCP to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try the magic for yourself. And don't forget to add their tasty treats to your order. Be sure to use our promo code GCP at checkout to save $5 off. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of high protein cereal at magicspoon.com/GCP and use the code GCP to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Joe, I want to hear the worst fumble in the history of the podcast.
I don't like your face right now.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, no.
You just got it.
Come on.
No, stop.
You're a showman.
I'm not kidding.
Stop it.
This is the worst fumble has ever been pulled. And you know what's really shocking?
Why is this happening to me?
It's been pulled, or it was submitted by friend of the show.
No.
Doc Robotnik.
Doc. Discord mod.
When we see you.
No.
Discord mod Doc Robotnik, who probably thought
a wedgie.
A monster would pull this.
No.
Doc Robotnik from Boise, Idaho.
Loves
being from Boise, doesn't he?
Yeah, he must love Boise.
He just loves it.
I wonder if they're all assholes in Boise.
I think you got your own private Idaho, huh?
Or if it's just Doc. All right, here we go.
All right.
Ow, I bit my tongue.
Doesn't sound so bad.
Oh, no.
Doesn't sound so bad at all.
As you chant the verbal component of your spell, you catch your tongue on a tooth, causing you to misspeak. Instead of the intended effect of your spell, you transfer a portion of your ability to sense the flow of time into your target. You are slowed one for 1d4 rounds, and your target is quickened one for the same duration.
Oh my, wow.
Sydney!
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
The
Naish giveth and the Naish taketh away.
Man, this fucking Idaho vandal.
I'm so sad.
Wow, Doc, how does it feel?
Now, there is something positive. There is one small positive thing, which is like quickened. Oh.
They get an extra action.
It's just an extra action, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. It's awful. It's like two spells around. It's a party killer.
Is amazing.
I mean,
1d4?
1d4 rounds.
This is why we play.
I don't trust you.
Ooh, you don't?
No!
Bad. 2.
Okay.
it's going to make up for a lot of lost time.
Yeah, you'll get to make
the
up
worst.
For it. It's going to get to cast two spells around.
They can hit all of us.
Okay. Look at the electricity around me because I'm quickened. It's like that's a Highlander quickening.
She was so thrown off.
So slow.
All these visions. She got confused and she bit her tongue.
All right, so do you have any actions left?
No, that's it.
All right, so beginning of the next turn, you'll have one less action. I will gain an action unless Buggles can finish this.
Finish it now!
Fight!
The aura.
Finish the fight.
Oh. Vanishes.
No!
Oh, no!
Buggles is reeling.
No, not now. Don't leave me now.
And he's looking up at this creature. He senses that something has changed. And he's going to try one more time for the big money.
Okay.
Big money. First, got to do the flat check.
No whammies.
12 on the flat check.
Okay. You got that 12 out of the way. Now you get 90.
And what was this for, the flat check?
Stupefied,
yeah.
Because I'm coming out of the...
Come on. Big money, Buggles.
Natural 20.
No!
Natural fucking 20.
Oh, no!
I can see it.
I see it.
Natural fucking 20.
Wow.
Tough.
Oh my
Tough.
God.
Wow.
You see, you don't need the cooler card.
No, the cooler card was in within me all the time. Big money.
All right, so that is a nat 20. That is
magic crit.
Fan critical magic crit.
The nation needs to give.
Let's get a good one.
And what was the spell again?
It was my, not frostbite, ignition.
It's back to flame.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boom. Whoa. And it was fire this time. It's boom.
Okay. sorry. This is a long one.
Pop. Cheese everywhere.
Okay. I'm going to do it because I don't think it... We'll see. All right. This is from Chase from Cedra Woolley, Washington.
Oh, hi,
Chase. Cedra Woolley, Washington. What's up, Chase? Thank you for writing in.
Not a real place.
The title is Leaf Finds a Way.
Okay. That's very fun.
Leaf,
I like it.
Comma, finds a way.
Okay. Your magic feels strong and more lively. Some of your magic seeps into the surface you stand upon. Growing a small tree, interesting, that bears life-saving fruit. So deal double damage.
That's perfect.
In addition, a tree grows as though you had planted a sapling rod, which withers away after you pick the fruit. Anyway, we can get into what the fruit does.
I imagine that like some part of this magic as it flies towards this guy leaks out of your hand, hits the ground, and a tree starts to form.
Yeah. I mean, what a perfect place for this to happen,
so
right?
Weird.
Overpowered magic. I love this. All right, so this is a big double damage roll here.
Oh, the length of this is all. He just copy and pasted the rules for the sapling rod, basically.
Okay.
Come on. Big money damage. Double it up.
Okay.
What's the crit damage?
Kill this thing! Knock this spider off the wall.
Come on now.
Squash this bug.
Squash that bug.
Squish.
Squish.
Okay. 18 points of damage.
18 points of fire damage. All right, so you light him up with a crit for 18 points of damage. Mere seconds
before he is quickened and able to cast horrible spells, the likes of which Asta thinks could decimate the entire party in one pop. You hit him with this fire, and he turns crispy and declings from the wall and falls.
Yeah!
To the
yes!
Oh my god.
Oh my god, the timing. Oh, thump thump.
I mean, thump, the thump, timing.
Thump, thump thump.
Couldn't have been more perfect.
Oh,
one round away. Even
one
if I only survived for one more round,
right?
The damage I could have done in that one round would have taken you out, because you haven't been healed yet, right? Or not?
Oh, I got a little healed.
I'm down.
A little healed, yeah. I think I could have taken both of you to dying.
And then we have very little ways to do damage, besides, you know, Buggles, but that's once around.
Buggles is still stupefied.
You and I could...
it's greatly reduced, though. It's the amount of damage.
Yeah, I know I could have taken...
Yeah, I can only do one attack.
And with him quickened for two rounds then after that. Like,
I mean, if I didn't look up quickened, I don't know if it's like haste at all. I don't think it is. I think it's just a straight-up extra action.
I gain one action at the start of my turn each round. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you could cast two spells around.
Which is huge. Especially if you have area of effect spells.
Oh,
Oh, my God. I already started like thinking of the combinations.
Yeah, especially with
spells.
People who are already down and you start doing AOOs.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you do two in a row.
Dying three, dying four.
Yeah, I'm dying three.
I mean, I'm just looking at the combinations. I definitely could have taken out Asta and Zephyr, I think, with the amount of damage.
I want to know.
Bring him into the vivisection chamber. Yes. Cut him open. Learn everything.
What spells are in there?
Yeah, we're ripping out his guts.
Hits the ground, and he's just a crispy nugget.
How are the goggles?
They're perfect.
Oh, good.
Yeah, perfect. All right, so let's read this real quick. If you thrust a sapling rod into any natural ground or earth and allow it to stand for 1 hour, the rod grows and blooms into a large tree bearing edible fruit. The sapling rod produces 2d4 pieces of fruit.
Yeah, we had a sapling rod in Giant Slayer.
Yeah, I remember that. A creature that consumes an entire piece of fruit gains the benefit of either cure moderate wounds or lesser restoration spell. That all sounds like 1e, so we'll just have to figure
that out.
This is
the first edition. Okay.
But it's definitely under the 2e. Things,
definitely pluck that fruit and take it with us.
Take the fruit.
Well, it's going to take an hour to grow, so you can hang in this room.
No, it already grew, right?
No.
It said the tree grew.
It has to allow to stand for 1 hour.
Oh. Yeah. You can pop by the tree on your way up.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we need to go through this room and
yeah.
A lot going on.
An hour.
It's a big desk.
Room.
A couple of surgeries later, we're in here for a day.
Yeah. Who's Brother Ramius going to mangle this?
What do you guys want to do?
I want to check out those goggles.
Yeah, search that body.
Search that sexy body. All right, so you search the body and you find a couple of things. You find those sweet greater stalk goggles, STALK. As you take them off, his eyes go back to just normal eyes. Part of the activation of these goggles is that it extends your eyes into eye stalks. Mm. So whoever chooses those, gonna have to get that artwork made.
Cool.
He also has a ring with a symbol on it. The ring isn't radiating magical energy. I don't know if you took detect magic.
I prepared it today. Yeah.
I mean, I usually just kind of give it to you, and that's probably why you're like, "Fuck, I'm not taking detect magic." But
no, that's not true. It's all about like combat stuff. We're like, we're going into all this combat. I'm gonna be like, so what I took was shield. That's what I took in place, like shield myself. And I was like, you know what? I'm actually not getting targeted that much. So like I'll prepare to detect magic.
Well, the ring is not magical, but it does have a symbol on it. Give me a religion check.
Okay. That's going to be good. That is, I believe, a 27.
Mask of Nethys.
Oh, wow.
It's like etched onto the signet ring.
Wow.
Magic boy.
As you're trying to see if there's magic on the ring and detecting none, you do see a book. Perhaps a spell book.
Oh, yeah. He loves to grab
it. Asta starts reaching for it.
Ramius slaps her hand.
Ramius takes it. Looks, it's a spell book.
Is he?
Hands it to you.
So was he a wizard?
Yeah.
I crack it open. Was he a wizard?
Nethys, a spell book? At least some version of a wizard.
Spell book.
You look in here and...
What were the spells he could have rained down upon us?
Yeah,
I imagine you could just start reading the spells. I don't want to make you roll identify magic at this point.
I guess it would depend on how high level they are and stuff like that. Like, if they were moderately within our grasp, I think we could read.
You can't cast second level spells yet, right?
No.
All right, so I'm going to say you don't know the second level spells, but you do know the first level spells. It seems wizardly, but there's something else going on here. It's like, it isn't just a traditional wizard spell book.
Is he a magus too?
No, might be an alchemist. No,
it's very, very strange.
What kind of first level spells are we talking about?
First level spells, we're talking about magic missile.
Huh. Awesome.
And what would have been shocking grasp?
Thunderstrike.
Yeah. Do you have magic missile?
I probably have access to it. I don't have it prepared. I don't have access to it as a magus.
I doubt it. Yeah, magus, like, you only know what you know. That's it. You don't know the whole list.
Yeah, so you want to find a spell book with spells you don't have.
Yeah, so now you could, like, now you can add magic missile to your list.
You can learn it.
So what's it called now?
I think it's still called magic missile, no?
Oh, I would imagine not. It's not force missile, maybe?
Force missile.
It's probably something like that, yeah.
There are a handful of other spells you don't recognize, but you do notice the some cantrips, mage hand, shield, tanglefoot.
Huh. I'd
love to have cast any of those. And then, yeah, 1, 2, 3 other spells that look pretty juicy. 1, fire-based. See images of fire. 1, you're like, oh, that's got to be spider climb. It shows like spider's legs, a close up of a spider's leg with a little, follicles of hair coming out.
Huh.
And then another one that is like an arrow bathed in like a green flame.
Ooh. Acid arrow.
Acid arrow, yeah, or something.
Oh, cool.
So some cool spells, and certainly once you. Now what's great is like having access to those second level spells when you level up and start learning. Once you figure out what these are, you don't want to learn these spells because you get them for free in addition to the ones that you had.
Cool.
You could also, in extreme circumstances, extreme need, use the spell book as a scroll.
Oh.
We could, like, you can read the spell right from the page and it's gone, but you get to, like...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a whole... I don't know enough about it to even speak to it, but there is a lot of cool stuff you can do with spells. I also don't know about the process of learning spells.
If the magus uses spell books the way I assume they do, I don't really know, but if they do, then, like, you need to read the entire section in the core book on spell books.
Yeah, because I have, like, the spells that I know, and I can prepare them daily, the ones that I choose from the spells that I know. But now I have 2 spell books.
So
I have that other one too.
Right. So this would add to the spells that you know. But I do believe there is a cost to learning them.
Yeah.
So you have access to it now.
Yeah.
I think there's a cost to learning. We'll look that
figure that out. Also, I'm sure it's a time thing. So in our downtime, I'll do those actions.
Yes.
It's called Force Bolt.
Force Bolt.
I was Force Bolt.
There it is. Force Bolt. I was like, Force Blast I had, and it just...
Force Bolt.
That was each time you gain a level, you can add 2 more arcane spells to your spell book. I mean, any level of spell you can cast, but you can also use the Arcana skill to add other spells that you find in your adventures. So that's how you learn spells from spell books. And correct me if I'm wrong, unless this was another game, I don't think so. You found another spell book recently.
Yeah.
You just haven't identified what that magic
mirror is. Image.
Is one, and one other spell.
And the other one I didn't know, but I knew mirror image,
If you have a spell book for multiple sources, you can use the same spell book for all your spells. Anyways.
So cool.
Very, very cool.
So, obviously you'll take the spell book.
Yes.
Should we roll off for the goggles? Those who want to have the goggles.
First, have we done a roll off yet?
I don't even know, actually.
It's been a very low loot.
Yeah.
Roll off.
Well, what's the benefit of the goggles? You can't be flanked.
Once per day, you can enact them to not be flanked.
Plus
you
perception. Get
perception bone.
Perception bone.
But you have to enact them, or?
Yeah, you have to use the, I think the activation is called Envision. It's a one action John.
So other than using that one action John, they do nothing the rest of the time? Or do they have a constant item bonus to perception?
When this character puts them on and invests them, the wearer's eyes transform and lengthen into snail-like eye stalks. The wobbly eye stalks stretch out through the lens holes and up over the wearer's head on lengthened optic nerves.
Ugh.
Once per day, you can activate to use the Envision power. By focusing hard, you can watch for enemies in all directions. You gain all-around vision and a +1 item bonus to perception checks involving sight for 1 minute. During this time, you can't be flanked.
So it's a combat thing.
Yeah, I'm reading that.
And I
Don't want them.
I
don't want them either.
I think they make you look stupid.
Yeah, I don't want my art to look weird. I don't want these.
So Letha will take them. She's not going to walk around with her eyes out and stalk all the time. But for that 1 minute a day, it's going
to
be pretty cool.
When she does, I'm going to scream.
I'll wear them on my head, and I'll just
hold them down.
I imagine the action is to be like,
once you invest them, it extends your eye.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to walk around with weird, ugly eyes all the time in order to be able to do that thing.
But you can uninvest, right? And then take them off. Otherwise, you got weird eyes, dude.
But investing is like a daily preparation.
You got weird eyes, dude.
All right, but you know what? It's a magical adventure. Be weird. You trying to find a mate in this adventure?
That was a very guttural sound from Kate.
There's a tree right there if you want.
Yeah,
you
can. Are you looking for love?
Why would I need a mate when I have this tree?
That's true.
We talk
about who's fucking the tree?
Jeepers. Cut right to it.
Kids listen to this show.
Yeah.
What do you guys want to do here? You're
can
in
we
this
do a
very
general
strange room.
Perception on like that desk area?
Oh, yeah, is there notes on how the tree
looks? Yeah. You're looking over at the desk. This is what Zephyr looked at last week, I believe. You were trying to figure out. You saw this various flora and extracts and all sorts of stuff. Give me, I'm going to do a very specific check here to try and figure out the hell's going on. A lot going on in this fucking room. Eve, give me a holy shit. Nature. Do you guys have first world lore?
Oh my god,
that would be like really even better. But if not, nature would be fine.
I'm so tired of it.
I was tired of it. Like
yeah, by the time we like somebody actually gets it, the first lore part of the whole adventure will be.
It'll be
why that wasn't in the player's
and
guide.
And we'll be in the plane of fire.
I don't know.
It's like Lork's undead bane.
Yeah, why did my background
my favorite enemy undead? That was one of the meanest things a GM has ever done to enemy.
To a ranger specifically.
Nope, I don't know anything.
Can I roll untrained?
What are we rolling?
21 nature for Ramius. Brother Ramius.
24 for Talitha.
They look like pretty valuable reagents that you could probably sell. Back if you ever make it back home.
Well, if you ever, Talitha, have you ever like experimented with any
reagents?
Crafting? Or?
In fact, I have.
Yes, I've seen you do some potions and stuff like that, so perhaps...
Yes, I'll take them.
Yeah.
Like 10 gold worth of like reagents. That
all right, we'll throw in the
you
bag.
Can't just like go to an apothecary back in Seven Arches and get this. This is like first world shit.
Nice.
All the plants that are here, they don't exist in their world. What's this character doing? You're not quite sure. So you go over and you start to look at these pods and try to discern the nature of what's going on here. Now, you never rolled any sort of check on these. You and Asta have been rolling to try and figure it out.
You want me to roll?
You could. If anyone has occultism, give me an occultism roll or or arcana.
I don't,
just to kind of add to the general knowledge.
I don't have occultism or arcana trained.
Okay.
I could do arcana.
I already rolled it, so I'm assuming I'm out.
Yeah,
it's going to be a 24.
You rolled it.
You
as
rolled
well
it
during
too.
Your.
But I rolled well.
You don't know. It all happened.
Well, you know.
I do. Can't roll.
So
again.
Can I roll again? I can't roll again.
We discovered the downside of trying. Yeah,
I don't like this anymore. Actually,
you'd be surprised how poorly it's gone for you guys. Actually, you wouldn't.
Base announcement going.
Probably not.
Stable, not
so weird. It. Completely unlike the initiative rolls of every creature he controls.
Yeah, isn't that shocking?
What's your nature?
Plus 8.
All right, so... Brother Ramus, first image we see of you in this adventure is you in a garden.
Yes.
Right? Tending.
Yes.
To nature.
There's one of us who knows about getting it on. It's Brother Ramus.
Yep.
That's right.
He's very intimate with his own apparatus. It's the monk. This monk, Abbey monk, priest. You don't have sex with people.
Could you please get to the point? I don't think my sex life is obvious.
It's not relevant.
It's highly relevant.
Okay.
You're like, you're looking at this relevant. Like, hold on, I know how this works.
Let me tell you a thing or two.
You look at this and you start to see beautiful mind style. How this works. You look at all of the way the branches move. There is an art to this. It is not, there's nothing random here. Although it is very surreal and magical in nature. If someone stands in the north pod, the pod in the north section of the room, it appears that this structure can be activated to transfer a part of that person's being into someone in the south pod. It is like a transfer of traits. But you look at it and you realize that this magic might be beyond all of you in this room, which leads you to believe there's a chance things could go awry or could be quite wonderful.
So it's not a personality or spirit or soul.
It's some kind of Frankenstein.
It's like Brother Ramius can now spell strike.
You don't know. It's very eugenics-y.
Gross. The best feature of... How do you know
maybe
which one goes...
Maybe not even the best. Well, Brother Ramius is looking, and he just sees something in the structure of it that's like, whoever's in the north sends something to someone in the south.
Does what they send get removed they lose from them? It?
You don't get that sense. It's like
copy-pasted.
Copy-pasted.
We should try.
Talitha is fascinated by this.
Yeah.
In fact, she wants to be the first...
Asta is also fascinated.
Talitha will volunteer to go into the south pod.
I will go... Wait, the south gives or gets?
To get free stuff?
Or to be transformed in some way. Yeah. So either high risk, high reward, my friend.
It is quite an impressive mechanism.
Do you think you could activate it, Brother Ramius?
Think so, yes, without a doubt. And there would be no drawbacks. Asta, would you like to get in?
Okay. In the north?
I was being facetious. I'm sorry. Humor is not befitting me.
What?
I don't know how to work the machine. I could try. I think I have some idea of how it works, but there could be grave consequences.
It could also give us the ability to fend off Kanipo and their minions.
I'm glad I didn't smash it when I said I was going to.
I have a feeling you wouldn't have been able to.
I think I could.
Looking at the structure, and it seems so strong. So well made.
I'm going to get in.
As am I.
I get in the pod.
Zephyr.
Zephyr walks up and stands next to Buggles and is like, What's everybody doing?
Buggles is not... He's not paying attention. Like, ever since this guy went down, like, he's been sort of like... go over to his body, just kind of like prodding at it with his foot, just amazed at himself that he has done this. He doesn't know quite how to feel. And when Zephyr comes over, he's just like, what?
Why are they stepping into the pods?
What are they doing?
There seems to be some sort of mechanism here that could strengthen us, we think. Talitha desperately wants to try it out, and I believe I can understand how to work it, so we're going to give it a shot.
You don't sound sure.
I'm not sure. Look at it, Buggles. It's a completely foreign object, but...
Not safe at all!
It's not safe, sure, but we must take some risks. Walking through that tear in reality wasn't safe, was it? And you can see he's like a little bit edgy and a little shaky.
What is... Mechanically, what is Joe going to roll? I want to know.
Someone is going to have to be that third party that operates this. And for you, I think you'd want to use nature.
Oh, yeah, he's got a +8.
Try and, like, it's very similar to the experience of communing with the library tree, except you don't have to kiss it.
All right, just...
Please use it all, okay?
Can you kiss it?
You know, can we French God again?
I'm going to kiss it. Just mind the veins.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Asta. Talitha.
So you close the...
Can they hear me, or is it a sound?
Yeah, they can hear you.
I'm also thinking of... obviously, it doesn't look like a cock and balls, but in the Watchmen... HBO series where the on Europa, the little, you know what I'm talking about? I'm
trying to remember.
The chamber Jeremy Irons has?
Yes, yeah. Oh, it does look like.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. You should watch that. It's a phenomenal series.
That's really good.
We should have another season.
Why didn't it have another season? Is it because it wasn't that good?
It's not.
No, because Damon Lindelof said, I'd do another one.
Mm. Yep. Mm. What do you want to do, Joe? Do you want to turn this baby on?
I want to turn this baby on. I want to see if this actually can make us move. Because you know what? Something weird happened in here. Some magic went our way. And if it hadn't, people could have died.
So we got to wait for that tree to bloom anyway.
So this is really... We need a leg up. If you feel anything that feels painful or very dangerous, try to jump out, I guess. I don't know.
Wait.
And he hand shakes as he reaches for a die.
This is a great idea and a great sign. Can you aid him or something?
Can I aid him before I get in?
What do you want to try and do?
I mean, I help him understand. I'll roll. I can roll nature. I can roll arcana. I can roll
cultism. Looking to see
like oh, no, you should do this and then this and kind of help with, establish an order of operation.
Yeah, 20 plus. You can give him a plus one.
Can I do arcana?
No, I can do occultism.
Occultism? Okay. Got it.
Okay. You get a plus one. Plus one. I want you to roll it because then it'll be funnier.
And could you please use a bottle cap?
We'll see.
As soon as we'll are you like putting your hands on the tree?
Yeah.
Okay.
Walk us through how you are.
Yeah, tell us what you're doing. Because Asa's watching you from the pod. She's watching what you're doing.
So are you guys in the pods on the map?
I'm in the pod.
Oh, that's awesome. He said, maybe I saw something like this once before. And he reaches back behind him and pulls. Strangely, it looks like it's all packed super tight. But actually, he just pulls this book out without even looking. And it's the right one. And he flips through some pages. And he's looking. And it's this sketching of a tree. Obviously, it's not this tree. But he's looking through it and looking up at the object. And he starts... reaches out with his fingertips and starts touching the bark.
As soon as he touches the tree, Asa goes,
he pulls back off a tree. Get out of the chamber!
Door's locked.
I'm kidding.
She's like banging on the side.
I made a joke. It was a joke.
Not Penny's boat.
None of us out here are laughing.
I'm joking.
What is wrong with you?
It's not funny.
Don't do that. It's a very sensitive procedure.
I thought it was funny. Sorry.
Oh, he wipes the sweat out of his eyes.
Sorry.
Ramius, you need to steady your nerves. Do some drugs, for God's sake.
Not right now, Buckles. I don't want to be sued.
Asta sits on the ground.
Super malpractice.
Yeah. And he will, he's going to attempt to start feeling out if there is, you know, a way to manipulate this tree to activate it magically with his knowledge of nature and the divine combined as one.
You have to use your powers to... like infuse your mind into this and tell it what to do.
I think he's going to draw on his faith, his deep faith that he's had for a very, very long time about the oneness of all people, about the connection that everyone is capable of drawing together if they simply understand more about each other instead of being so focused on only what they know and they experience. And utilizing that faith that's at its core, I think, is an amazing way to make the mechanics of this tree operate to share not only knowledge, but ability between people. And he will roll. Let's see. That's not good.
Do you want a bottle cap?
Well, you know, there's always that issue with the bottle cap, which is you can spend the bottle cap, which, by the way, you can only do once. And then you could roll a natural one if you haven't already rolled a natural one.
Yeah, but if you fail this, you could kill us.
I think it's been worse.
I mean, if I critically fail it, I could kill somebody. Yeah. And I don't believe I've critically failed.
I don't think
you'd
kill anyone if you just fail.
I don't believe I've critically failed.
It
is your characters. I would leave it up to you.
Bottle cap.
I would say a bottle cap.
Okay.
What is your roll total?
I rolled a 16 total.
It's not that bad.
It's a fail. Has to be.
It's
probably
a fail.
Not a critical.
Probably not a critical fail. But
exactly.
Yeah.
So you rolled an 8.
I rolled a 7.
But you have a plus 8.
I got an 8.
Oh, well,
oh, no. Oh, no. Sydney's doing math.
I did it right. That's the correct math.
All right. I will turn in my bottle cap. For these. To, in the hopes that we are empowering ourselves and not. Oh, Troy's reading a lot. I don't like this.
I don't like this at all.
I'm not even looking.
Dude, I'm at work.
He's looking for
you.
Looking.
Know what? He'll probably forget. All right, here we go. Here's the roll.
Give me the cap.
Put it on the table. Put it on the table.
All right.
Vegas.
Hands off.
All right.
Okay.
Nice cap.
It is a nice cap. Raga. Raga Bear Dog.
Oh, Raga cap.
Love Raga. Raga that was the first cap that I got in Gatewalkers, like the first
cap?
Session. Yeah, so it's the first I've spent it. And
come on, Joe.
My music has stopped. We have to. Let's go.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I did ominous music because I don't think it's going to be good. Here we go. It's a 21.
Oh.
21.
It's an improvement.
With the aid?
Aid rolls are...
Yes, with the aid. My heart is pounding out of my chest.
You're in the southern part. You are the receiver, if Brother Ramius's calculations are correct.
And mine.
You are the giver.
Kneeling. Head bowed.
Let's go over your ancestry traits.
Yeah.
What are they?
So I have... I'm spilling it all now. I'm a dark field kitsune.
Does that mean evil?
No.
Mm-hmm. What are your creature type traits?
I have kitsune, humanoid, uncommon.
Yeah, those are the traits, yeah.
Okay, so kitsune is one of...
Yeah, that's... yeah.
Okay.
And I also have my shape change.
That's it. That's it. It's kitsune, humanoid, uncommon.
Okay.
And then also, though, my shape change into a fox. So I do have, I guess, a polymorph animal. A polymorph animal, divine.
What? Under the...
Not under my ancestry, but that is part of being a kitsune. You get your... you either turn into a humanoid or you turn into a fox.
And so, when you're fox, does it have traits? Does it say animal?
My chain shape, you transform into a specific alternate form. Mine is the fox form.
We're just, okay.
Yeah,
you might delight in jokes.
Yeah. Kitsune love jokes.
You activate this pod, and you watch. You... Asta, start to feel this warm glow starts at your toes. It enters your body and runs up your legs, into your lower torso, up into your head. You feel the hair on your body start to stiffen and bristle. While this is happening, Talitha, you feel a similar warmth enter your body. But as it runs up your body, you feel parts of your body start to change. And you feel your face, as it reaches up above your neckline, start to change as well, as like tiny bits of fur begin to emerge.
Oh no. Oh no.
You now have the ability to change shape, and you can choose any animal whatsoever you'd like to change shape into, you know, depending on GM discussion.
What?
I'll give you a week to think about it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Let's all go in the orbs. Everybody.
Everybody.
I want the Ka'ula Khan.
Brother Ramius just starts kicking ass like fire eyes.
That is amazing.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of The Naish today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join The Naish today at jointhenaish.com.
On a summer night, Douglas Wagg Jr. lay motionless across a strip of railroad tracks before being struck by an oncoming train. I'm investigative journalist Delia D'Ambra, and my investigation into exactly how Doug died took me into the depths of a bizarre mystery.
It was really hard to understand what was fact and what wasn't.
A mystery that has led me from one suspicious death to another. Listen to Counterclock now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to a journey into the heart of the Texas Renaissance Festival, the nation's largest and rowdiest celebration of medieval fantasy. But what lurks beneath the facade of tights and turkey legs? Well, we dove deep into the empire to uncover a history marred by mystery and misconduct, murders, assaults, and other crimes that tarnish its legacy. This isn't just a fairy tale. It's a cautionary tale of power, fantasy, and the consequences that follow when they all collide. Search for Crime Waves Renaissance Texas on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now.